Good morning once again. It's a pleasure for me to be here always, and I look forward to share with you for many days to come. I need to speak slowly for those that have difficulty in hearing my speech. I know there are times that words are pronounced different, but in this case, I will do what I can and make sure that we are all following what's going on here. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer so that we can? Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Father, we thank you that we are able to call you Father. With all our faults, we come to you, Father, in humility. Help us, Lord, as we come to you and try to listen to your voice. May you use me, Father, as your instrument. May your people hear you speak to them and not me. Use me. In Jesus' name, we are listening. Amen. Like I said, it's always a pleasure to come and share with you. I hope next time that I'll be coming again, I will be able to share with the rest of you our work that we do in Zimbabwe as Literacy Ministries. And I know that many of you would like to be a part of that ministry. It is a very important ministry to us. We really value that ministry because it helps children, like it was said before, children who have not had an opportunity to go to school to learn under Christian education. One thing that I praise God about Zimbabwe is that we can talk about Christ in the classroom. We can teach Christ in the classroom without any restriction. So that is one thing. And you have to write an examination. You have to sit for a Bible examination in order for you to graduate from high school. It's amazing. I love that, and I really thank God for that opportunity. So we would like to continue to pray for the country of Zimbabwe. There are many things that happened there. I think many of you, maybe you might have heard about cyclone that hit Zimbabwe when I was in Zimbabwe sometime in March. People are still trying to recover from that, from the effects of that cyclone. Therefore, we ask you to keep those people in prayer because they are really looking forward to help from across the world. Many of them lost their homes. They were just swept away by that cyclone. But keep them in prayer. Today we are going to start off with a story. A story of a deer. And I know all of us know deers. Those who drive on the highways have met deers before. And the story today is about a female deer. This female deer was about to give birth. So she started wandering around, looking for a place to deliver the baby. And as she moved around, she actually got to a place where there was a very, it's a secluded place, secure place. Next to it, there was a river that was flowing fast. And across, it was very nice view, some tall grass, and she thought to herself, well, if I do it right here, my baby will be secure. Whilst she was looking around the environment, there was some clouds or started building in the sky. And all of a sudden, there was a thunderbolt of lightning across the river. And that lightning started a fire. Well, then she thinks, oh, no. Maybe that fire is going to come over here and then kill my baby. So what am I going to do? While she looked one side, she saw there was a hunter, and this hunter was ready to shoot with his bow and arrow. And she looked backwards. There was a lion, which was very hungry and ready to attack. In that moment, she didn't know what to do next. The only thing that she thought of was to concentrate on what she could do best. She thought of focusing on what she had to do, that was to deliver the baby. And that was the only thing, because the baby was already coming, and so she had to focus on that. In that process, as she was going through that decision-making process, there was another thunderbolt of lightning, and that lightning actually shocked the hunter, who in that process of being shocked actually released the arrow, and this arrow went and missed the deer and struck the lion, and the lion ran away. So the whole story is that when you are faced with so many troubles around you, what do you do? If you are faced with so many troubles, what do you do? What is the easiest thing for you to do? The easiest thing for you is to focus on what you have to do best as a Christian. There are many things that we can do as human beings, but there's only one thing that we can do as Christians, and that is to focus on the one and only, the one who can protect us, the one who can give us a victory in every situation. We know for sure that the Lord does hear. The Lord does listen to us. The Lord cares for those who call upon Him. So when you are faced with all those temptations, when we are faced with all those troubles, difficult situations where you don't know what to do, there's only one thing that you have to do, is to focus on Christ. And in our lesson today, we are actually going to be talking about a gentleman whom you all know, and this gentleman is Nehemiah. And we are going to focus on what the Lord had placed upon his heart. What did the Lord place upon his heart to do? What did he ask him to do? What was troubling him? We all know Nehemiah. When we talk of Nehemiah, we talk about the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, right? We understand that. So when the Lord had placed that on his heart, he became preoccupied with that. He became focused on that. He became troubled with that because he didn't know what to do. He has a job to do. He's, we can say, a prime minister, somebody who is well respected, somebody who was called the cupbearer, somebody who would sample the food, the wine for the king before the king had to eat that, which means he had the king's trust in him. So this whole thing about going to Jerusalem to rebuild the broken city started worrying him so much that one day when he was delivering the wine to the king, the king noticed that he has a problem. He asked him, we are going to read from Nehemiah chapter 4. We want to find out what did the king say to Nehemiah when he noticed that Nehemiah was troubled, when he noticed that he was sad. He didn't tell the king he was sad, but he was always happy. He was always jovial. He was always courteous before the king. And then the king notices that he has a problem. So we are going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, just to find out what the king said, and when you saw that he was unhappy. So that's where we are going to read. I'm trying to read from my tablet here. Maybe it's just going to open. Maybe it's not going to open, but I think it's too slow. Okay, there it is. It says on chapter, not chapter 4, but chapter 1, verse 2. Sorry. Verse 2. He says, I mean, when he found him sad, it's not reading chapter 1. It's not opening chapter 1. May I ask somebody to read for me chapter 1, verse 2? Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. Just one more time. Let me go back to this one. It says, why are you so sad? What is troubling you? What is on your mind? And Nehemiah says, verse 2, he was actually being asked by the king at Texas. He says, you are looking so sad. What is going on with you? You don't look sick, but you are so troubled. And he answered, he says, you know, how can I not be troubled? How can I not be sad when my ancestors' city is in ruins? And the king says to him, what can I do for you? What is it that I can do? And he says, if it pleases you, may I, yes, chapter 2, verse 2. Can you read that for us? Okay, anyway, I'll proceed. He says, what can I do for you? And he says, if it pleases you, let me go to Jerusalem and rebuild that city, that broken wall. I need to rebuild that for my ancestors and for my people. And the king, instead, what did the king say? The king actually granted him that request, and he says, you know, how long do you want to be? And in addition to that, he went on and asked the king and says, while I go there, I would like you to assist me. Can you give me a letter so that I can give it to the keeper of the forest so that I can be allowed to get some timber and everything that I need to build? You know what else? Instead of being granted those requests, the king had also to send him away with some officials on horses to protect him. He had security going with him. He had security which was provided by the king in order to make sure that he is safe, just for asking to leave. And then the king says, you know what? I don't want you to go alone. I want you to be safe. I want you to be protected. So he gets the protection that he needs. He gets the letters that he needed to give to the keeper of the forest. It was called the royal forest, for that matter. So he needed that license in order to go and cut the timber for him to construct that that wall. So in this case, we are noticing that Nehemiah's mind was focused just on rebuilding that city. And as he went to there, he arrived at in Jerusalem. As he was there, he was trying to strategize to find out what he can do, what he could do for that. Where would he? Who is going to be used in this case? There was, in the meantime, word came to two people. Word came to two people, and these two people, their names are called Sanballat, or a Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite. They heard about his arrival, and they were not happy with him coming to the city, because they knew that somebody was coming to help the Israelites, and they didn't want that. They were so opposed to him coming there. And remember that when the Lord has placed something on your heart, there is always some opposition which is coming from somewhere. Somebody is not happy with you if you are doing what is right for the Lord. They want to make sure that they discourage you to do that. And in this case, we are seeing that the discouragement is coming from the two gentlemen. And these two gentlemen are Sanballat and Tobiah. Those two were not happy that he was going to assist them. And word came around in the city that he was trying to rebuild the city. And when they heard that he was already rebuilding that city, they became so outrageous. They were so furious. They didn't want that to happen. Now, I want us to pause for a little while and look at the scenario here. Here's somebody who is focused on doing something that is right. And here are two people who are going to oppose whatever he is trying to do. Where do we come in as Christians in this case? Remember that when you are used by the Lord, when you are being used by the Lord, there is always going to be some discouragement from somewhere. You will always face a lot of opposition, because you're doing what is right. Even in the morning, we actually talked about in our Bible study, there were also some obstacles. If you are doing right, you find that you are going to be opposed by many people. So let's look here on chapter 4, verse 2. After these two gentlemen realized that this is what is going on, when they realized that Nehemiah was going to start a building, or he was already rebuilding the wall, what did they do? In this case, verse 2 says that, I'll quote, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing?" I'll repeat that. The Bible says, the two started mocking. They were mocking the work that was going on. They were trying to discourage the work that was going on. And they said, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing?" They are trying to come to the hearts of Nehemiah and say, "What do you think you're doing? Do you think you have the guts? Do you think you have what it takes to build this wall? I don't think you can do it." They are trying to discourage him from doing what is right. And at this point, as if it was not enough, when Sanballat was saying that, his friend, who is Tobiah, he also went on. He says, "Even if they are building this wall, that stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked on top of it." Just imagine that a fox, the size of a fox, and they are saying that, you know what, even if they build that wall will not be strong enough. A small fox will actually walk on it and destroy that wall. What would you have said if it was you? How would you have felt, for that matter? You know you are doing the right thing and you are building this wall with stones. And he says, it will be very weak, even if they do that. Remember that the walls were being used at that time to fortify, to protect the cities, so that if the enemy strikes, those walls can also act as protection. They cover the people. But here, these two gentlemen are trying to bring down Nehemiah and his people. They are focusing on doing what is right, but they are being pulled down because they are saying things that will discourage them. Of course, if I heard that, if I was building a house and somebody comes and say, you know what, even if a fly walks on that wall, it is going to collapse, it's going to crumble, I would be discouraged. But in this case, as Christians, we have a lesson to learn here, that the devil is always after us. The devil is always appealing to us to, you know, is trying to make us feel that whatever we do is not right. Whatever we do, we cannot manage to do it. So basically, all we need to do is to make sure that we are prepared for such things. As a Christian, be on alert. You have to stand your ground. You have to be firm in what you believe in, because it's not always true that those discouragements, those opposition, those statements that are said are not always true. Some of them are just meant to make sure that you stop doing what is right. But the Bible, in verse 4 of that chapter 4, what does it say? It tells us that Nehemiah remained focused. He did not listen to those. He did not get discouraged. He remained focused on building the wall to protect the people of Israel. That was his main goal. He did not listen to this. So for us, the same thing. When we face any opposition, when we face any discouragements, we have to understand what is the motive behind. This discouragement, in our case, may not come from people we don't know. It may be family. You remember the time of David? When Goliath was coming every morning and he was cursing at the people of Israel, he was actually putting them down. He was cursing at the Lord. And when David went there one day at the, at the battle site, what did his brothers say? Hey, what are you doing here? Why did you leave the sheep and come down here? For what? And then even Saul, King Saul, somebody that he trusted, he says, you are only a young boy. You're only a young man. What are you doing here? You can't even fight this Philistine. So we notice that discouragement may not come from people you don't know. It may come from family. It may come from people that you know. It may come from people you trust, friends. We know friends are not always there for us. Remember Job's friends, when they came, instead of consoling him, they were actually putting him down. So let's be careful as Christians, as we walk this journey. We know who we associate with. We know who is telling us the truth. We know who is building us up or who is pulling us down. There are many things that we can do as Christians just to focus on Christ. Like it says, I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 13. Ephesians chapter 6. My tablet is very slow. Can somebody help me with that one? I don't know, for some reason. This is an Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 13. Take up the whole armor of God when we face such kind of discouragement. We are being told, Paul is talking to the Ephesians here. He's saying, I know these things happen. I know there are people that are going to tell you that you Christians, you are fake because you say that the Lord is coming. It's now 2,000 years ago. Nobody has come. It's not true. The Lord is not slate. The time is coming. The Lord is patient with everybody. The Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. All what we have to tell them is that thank God that He is giving you yet another day. Because as each day passes, that is another chance for you to make your life right. Remember that the Lord says, 1,000 years is like 1 day. And 1 day is like 1,000 years. In our own opinion, we may be told that, you know, the Lord is not coming at all. Because we have waited and waited. Some people will still tell you that there is no resurrection. And yet we know for sure Jesus arose from the grave and people ate with him and they conversed with him. They shook hands with him. He did. And he was the firstborn to death and he defeated death by that. And if we are going to allow people to discourage us, to dissuade us from believing what we believe in, then we are not being focused. Let us stand up. Let us be firm. Let us let them know who we are. Because there's no other way that we can let us them know that we are what we believe because we know for sure. If we go back to our story of Nehemiah, how people were so steadfast, how people were so firm in what they were doing, how they were focused in what they were doing. It says, the Bible tells us that half the men were on guard, whilst half the men were building the wall. There was a time that one hand was holding a weapon and the other hand is actually building the wall because they believed in what they were doing. That is the kind of commitment that we would expect. That is the kind of thing that we should do as Christians. We should show that commitment because there was nothing that was going to discourage them from building the wall. And we know for sure because that wall was built. Why? Because the Lord was with them. When Nehemiah was facing this discouragement, the first thing he did was to go to the Lord in prayer. He would pray and ask the Lord and say, you see, we are being mocked. You see, your name is being mocked. Lord, we ask for your protection. And the Lord protected. In other words, as Christians, let us default to prayer. When things are so huge, when temptations are so high, when discouragement is at its highest, I know within families, some families have been disowned by their own family, mainly because they believe. In the news last was it this week? In the news that there was a lady, a man in Egypt, he killed his wife because she was reading the Bible. And his two girls were actually buried alive by that same man. And then there was a story that one of the older kids was telling, after 15 days, they were actually found still alive. And then this girl was saying there was a man who was dressed in dazzling clothes and he was coming to feed us. And this man was dressed in dazzling clothes, and he had blood all over his hands. This is this week. It's not a fake story. It's this week it happened. And this was a Muslim family. So I can see that in this case, the Lord is there. How else could this little girl manufacture a story like that? Who else could have fed them for 15 days alive, buried under sand? But they were alive. So we know for sure the Lord will not forsake us. The Lord will stand by us for as long as we will keep on doing what we are supposed to do. Let's be aware that there is temptation, but there is a way that we can always default to prayer and ask for the Lord. We know many battles have been fought. There are some battles that we are not supposed to be fighting. Battles like people who discourage us, those are not our battles. All we do is to inform them who we are and what we believe in, and do not be involved in an argument with them, but we only inform them who we are, what our stance is, and what we believe in as Christians. And this is the message that I wanted us to share, so that, you know, when you read things in the social media, which is the thing that actually is leading many people astray, don't be confused. The Bible says do not conform to the world, because he knows that the world will always do such things as this. Let's look up to Jesus. Let's make sure that he is going to fight on our side for as long as we are on his side, just like Nehemiah did, and he managed to build the wall. So this is my message for you today, and may the Lord bless the reading of the day, and may you continue to remain steadfast in what you do. Do not worry about the numbers. The Lord says, where there are two people gathered, I'm there also. That's the most important thing. And I was glad when our brother said, you know, I chose this church apart from many other churches with youth programs and other things. But if you are convinced this is where the Lord wants you to be, then that's what you need to be. May the Lord bless this word for today. In Jesus' name, amen.